Soul Source is a podcast made by women for women. We're looking at the topics that are influencing women and the world they live in, and we're shedding a light on those topics. We're speaking with the national experts. We're bringing you the stories you're only going to hear here. Don't miss out on being in the know. Subscribe to Soul Source wherever you listen to podcasts today and leave us a review. This part's really important. That way we can continue to bring you the content you love each and every week. So buckle up, Soul Source Society, because we're about to get started.
The whole entire goal is healthy mom, healthy baby, and then healthy birth memory. And that health and that memory is really attached to mental health and the outcomes of that.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lisa Cruz, your guest host. One of the biggest life events a woman can go through is giving birth. It's supposed to be one of the happiest days of your life, but unfortunately for many, it ends up being a traumatic experience. Today, we're talking with Sarah Levon, CEO of Bundle Birth. For years, she has been bridging the gap between patients and hospitals, empowering and educating women and nurses so that new moms can walk away with a happy birthday. Well, welcome to the show, Sarah. I'm so excited to have you here at Soul Source to talk about literally how to have a happy birthday with pauses in between there. So thank you so much for joining us today. I know we have a lot to talk about this morning. As you and I discussed, I always like to have those pre-conversation with people that we're interviewing, and you just had so many insights and so much to offer about a woman and the birthing experience. And just anecdotally, I think about here in the office, there are a number of us who have had babies throughout the years. And when they come back from maternity leave, it's like, oh my gosh, how did it go? Or you hear like the day after and you get these frantic texts totally. And that sort of thing. So I just look forward to talking more to with you about like how to really make it a trauma-free day. And I don't think women necessarily think about like, well, I'm just going to have a baby, you know, but speaking from experience, I've had four babies and there is a story to go along with each one. And then when you look back and you're like, that was a little traumatizing. Like, what are your thoughts overall with women and their birthing experiences? What role do you play to help?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think a lot of times the vibe in the birth world or the childbearing age world is that you walk in and you're going to give birth. Like it's a normal, natural thing. And of course it's going to go well. I love my doctor. I maybe love my hospital and like the baby's going to come out. Right. And so often what I find in the birth coaching role or in the nurse role, which I'll get into, is that there's so much actually that can come up during the birth experience that like, and even unresolved trauma or unresolved personal issues, like even low self-esteem can come up in labor and birth. And so I think birth, what I love about it is it provides us with this really, really unique opportunity to go deeper and to have a hopefully transformational experience in a positive way. But often, and actually about one third of birthing people actually would describe their birth as traumatic. And that like just breaks my heart. Because I just think we call this like have a happy birthday, right? Like that the whole entire goal is healthy mom, healthy baby, and then healthy birth memory. And that health and that memory is really attached to mental health and the outcomes of that. And so I think as far as my role goes, I am a labor and delivery nurse by background. About 3.5 years ago, I started a company called Bundle Birth, a nursing corporation, where I offer childbirth education and labor support to clients privately and then also virtually. So my role I've really seen it from so many different sides, whether that be in the hospital as the medical professional and working with the medical team to the like home scenarios. Literally yesterday at a prenatal visit at somebody's house, and we got into some deep stuff that's so important to identify prior to the birth. And so I think that has given me a really unique perspective on healthy birth memory and happy birthday, which is really the ultimate goal.
I love it. Like, what is the misstep? What's going on that a third of women experience some sort of type of trauma. Is it expectations? Is it not talking through options ahead of time? Like, where are the missteps in this process?
Yeah, I think it's super multifaceted. And I think it's very much individualized. So it's hard to nail down necessarily one thing. So I have to say that first. But then I think, first of all, I think our birth offers a very, like I said, unique experience where it's like, it's not like any other day, right? This is a day that you will remember for the rest of your life. It is, unless you've completely dissociated through your birth, like giving birth and having a child, whether you're the partner or the birthing person, will change you forever, right? And it's sort of this like ushering into parenting. And so with that, because it holds so much weight, I think the experience and going into it, there's a few things that like lead to birth trauma, which I'll tell you about, but also the experience holds more weight than any other day, potentially. Not maybe not any other day in your entire life, but it's one of those timeline stamps in your lifeline, right? And so I think one, if we look at actual numbers and studies, and I actually learned this from Krista Dancy, who's a perinatal psychologist up in Northern California, she's amazing, is that the number one reason for birth trauma is what they call subjective distress.
What does that mean?
Exactly. And you're like, huh? The idea would be that any kind for the birthing person, if they sense that there's something wrong, if they have strong fear, strong negative emotion, if they have a loss of control, and then along those lines is pain. And pain is related to trauma, right? Just in general. But then you have this childbirth experience that's supposed to be painful and that is supposed to be this like, oh, I'll tolerate it. But what if you're not tolerating it, right? And so that subjective distress really is a blanket term for if they experience not so good things during their birth, it can lead to trauma. The other big one is emergencies. And you can imagine that makes a lot of sense that if your birth didn't go as planned, you ended up with a NICU stay, you had an emergency C-section, maybe you really wanted that vaginal birth and you ended up with a C-section, that can be hard and traumatic. And then the other sort of side note to this, and I'll build off of this too, is just a history. If you have a history of pretty severe childhood trauma or adult trauma, and then a history of depression in pregnancy, that actually is a really strong predictor of potential trauma in the childbirth time while they're giving birth. And it really overarching is fear. So, and that's where I sort of feel like I come in and I see this all the time. And you read on the blogs and you know, you watch the YouTube videos and people reflecting, and all of us, like, who wants to be living in fear, right? And there is such a thing as tocophobia, and that is the actual fear of childbirth, where people have a phobia of childbirth going in. And I've seen even in people I don't even know, but I'll get that on my YouTube channel. They're like, I have tocophobia. I avoided getting pregnant forever. I really want children, but I can't get pregnant because I'm so fearful of the process. And so that, I think the fear side goes into culture and what stories we're telling and perspective and really the education piece surrounding childbirth. When you think of birth, what do you think of? Usually pain, right?
A lot of pain.
And you see the movies where they're like, ah, like screaming, really hysterical. That's not appealing to me to watch. And then the other huge one is people are very worried about tearing. That's the one that I hear all the time of like, they want to keep their vaginas intact. And so can you have a birth that is somewhat pain-free? I will say not totally pain-free. That's not totally realistic. I would say yes. And can you keep your vagina intact? Yes. And can, you know, and sometimes obviously like things go other ways, but I think so much of that is about realistic expectations and working to decrease your fear prior to your actual labor and birth and unpacking some of that prior to your labor and birth.
You know, and I just think about, again, anecdotally from my own experience, like I feel like the first birth for me was just a hot mess. Not bad. Could have been better. Second birth, that one was okay. But it took me until I gave birth to my fourth child to really feel like I was in control of this whole birthing experience. By the fourth child, I had like tips and like I knew what to prepare for and what to do or not do. Like I have it down. So what do you tell women as they're moving forward and getting ready for birth? Like, how do they best prepare to avoid the trauma of the situation?
Well, I want to comment on your four births because I think that is so incredibly interesting, because how often you hear even just the first birth, they do now, I would say in the trends that I see, that people do a ton of work for their first birth. And then the second, third, fourth, fifth, however many, like they're kind of like, oh, I know what I'm doing, right? Whereas every birth is so different. And it took you till that fourth birth to really step into your power as a birthing person and really, and have those tips and how much that made a difference for you, for your birth experience, which is what I would say is what I see all the time. And so I think that's also like an alert to all of us that just because you've had one doesn't mean that the next one will be like that, that you just kind of let it go and like, oops, well, let's just see how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah. They could all be different.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. And they are going to be all different, and that's good. Right. Like otherwise it all kind of blend together. And now you have like four distinct stories from one another, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So as far as what they can do, if we look at data on this one too, one of the studies that I love to quote, it looked at birth satisfaction. And I think a lot of times when, and satisfaction really, let's say is truly mental health, right? Like if I walk away not feeling like I had subjective distress, I was satisfied with my birth experience. That's sort of the opposite of what we were talking about with trauma. And so when we look at that information, what we see is that the birthing person experienced three things, three main things to help avoid trauma and have a positive birth memory. And that is that they felt totally in control.
Oh, that's huge.
Right. And that's one of the fears of labor and birth, is because it does sort of feel out of control, right? That it's like, oh, I don't know when my contractions will start. I don't know how it will go. And you can prep all, and I hear this all the time too with childbirth ed, I'll prep all I want, but it's never going to go like the class told me, right? Which I disagree actually, but yeah. I agree with in some format of that I understand there's a lot that's out of control. The other one is that they felt like they made all the decisions for themselves versus, and you hear this in the birth world too. And like the vibe is they did this to me. I didn't have a choice. I didn't understand what was going on. You think about a scary scenario. If someone looks you in the eye and says, this is what's happening, and this is what we're doing about it. We got you. How that like 5 seconds can make all the difference in that moment versus, I don't know, and your mind goes to 1,000 different places and you're freaking out inside and having all this anxiety, when that can be mitigated by just being included in the conversation. Now that could be an emergency, but that also could be just the process, right?
Yeah.
But if you feel, and that sort of goes along with being out of control, if you feel like, I don't totally understand what's happening here, I want to be included, but they're talking around me, or I didn't have a choice. That feeling like you had agency over yourself, autonomy over your body through the process, makes a ton of difference. And then the third one is that you never felt alone. Mm. And so really think about anything, everything is harder done alone, right? And even in our most painful moments of our lives, if we feel like we have the support, we have someone to lean on, we have someone to process with, somebody that's there kind of helping hold us up in those challenging times, we're going to do a lot better than if we don't have that. And so when we look at preparation, what that means to me, and actually the studies are very clear that childbirth preparation helps avoid trauma. And how that works is that by having the preparation and knowing what to expect and having a basic understanding, first of all, you're decreasing your fear of all the unknown, because then when you have a contraction, I'll never forget, I had a patient came in, was like grasping the side railing and screaming at the top of her lungs. And I'm like, what is happening here? Like, you know, do we have it? And my nurse brain goes off and I'm like, do we have an emergency? You know?
Yeah.
And she goes, she's having a contraction and she yells out, what is happening to me? And I kind of like in my head, of course, I was much more therapeutic in the moment, but in my head, I thought, you're having a contraction. Like, did not know this was coming, you know? But that to me is the perfect baseline example of if she understood what a contraction was, what the sensations might feel like, that they're going to come and then they're going to go in that moment. All of a sudden it's, ow, this hurts, rather than, ah, I'm scared. What's happening? I don't understand. I have no control.
Yeah.
Completely shifts the conversation. And so not only knowing what to expect, but also knowing what's important to you is also a huge piece of it, right? And having those and setting those realistic expectations ahead of time to know that if you want a water birth and you're delivering in a hospital that doesn't have bathtubs, you're going to be disappointed.
It's kind of a big deal.
Right. Like, you're going to have a situation on our hands where you're feeling let down. And that could have easily been mitigated by some work ahead of time to prep for the moment and say, doctor, is this an option? And they say, no. And then you have some time to set realistic expectations and or decide what you want to do with that and then move on. So as far as like avoiding trauma, those would be sort of the three things that I say to set yourself up for. And part of that is including some really good education to set you up and then the right support. Now, as I want to just make a side note also, because when we mentioned trauma, we talk about that. I mentioned pain, right?
Yeah.
And so there's actually some interesting data that talks about that pain management can help avoid trauma, right? And you can, if you're not prepared for the contractions, an epidural can be a recipe for a healthy birth memory. One of the things that I have stolen from Penny Simkin, who's a like world renowned childbirth educator, and written tons of books. And she has this idea of pain versus suffering. And there's a difference, right? And especially when thinking about mental health, that and this is for life as well, right? That like, I can have a headache today and forget about it tomorrow and be like, did I have a headache? I don't totally remember, but like, I think I did. Versus if I have a headache that completely wipes me out, I'm missing like meetings, and it's to the point where I'm now fearful that there's something wrong. Maybe I go to the emergency department, like that's going to have more impact on me. But the moment that pain turns into, I'm not okay, it becomes an emotional distress, subjective distress, right? Yep. Then I'm moving into suffering land. And when you relate that to birth, that easily there's a teeter. And I have this conversation with every patient. And I have a YouTube video on it as well, because I feel like it's such an important concept when considering pain management. Because if you're in pain, your pain is pain. Like, you know, and you see, like, and I've birthed with women who have, you know, don't have an epidural and experience all the sensations and walk away so empowered and great. And other ones who push to the finish line and have trauma from the discomfort and never want to do it again. That was the worst day of my life, you know, and like, it becomes this emotional thing where they have a hard time bonding with their baby. Like, you know, that's a difference between pain and suffering. Suffering to me is that subjective distress. And so knowing what your options are for pain management, maybe becoming more comfortable with them, because I think there's also a lot of fear with an epidural. And if you choose to not have an epidural, like, trust, I am great with that, but I don't want you to suffer. And so sometimes pain management can actually be a tool to help you not suffer.
So talk about your role then. Like, you work with women directly, but you also work with hospital systems and nurses, correct? Like, how are you, and what are you doing to bridge and create learning and education with hospital systems and nurses to provide that happy birthday for moms?
Yes. I love that you've made this connection, because I think this truly is my mission. And I, you know, I'd be in the hospital and be birthing with people or like helping them give birth. And next thing you know, I'm watching the trauma unfold and thinking to myself, if I only would have had like an hour with them before this moment, I think we could have avoided this. Yeah. And that just broke my heart, you know, and that's partially why I just so believe in childbirth education. I'm an educator by by back. Like that's my thing.
Yeah.
And so with that, when you hit them prenatally, meaning like you connect with the pregnant person prenatally, I saw the impact of that child birth education from going from a ball of anxiety to like, okay, I think I'm ready. Or like, I'm even excited about my birth. And that was so rewarding. So there's that, but I can tell patients what to do and how to advocate for themselves and how to have control and what your preferences can be. And they show up to the hospital system and their nurse or their doctor, I'm going to say nurse, because I'm a nurse, so I can speak to that, is like, oh no, you can't do that. Or, oh no, honey. Or they say like even just one word. In fact, yesterday, this was so insightful. I was at this prenatal meeting and they made the quote. I don't know who said it, but it was, I'll give them credit. The axe forgets, but the tree remembers.
Okay, say that again.
The axe forgets, but the tree remembers.
Oh, that's good.
I know. And I like sat there and I like had tingles because I'm like, that is nurses, right? We come in on our everyday. What we do is we cut down trees, like in a hopefully a helpful way.
Yeah.
Great. But in moments where it's just our everyday, the tree is going to be very impacted by the words. Our weight of our decisions, of our words, of our, even our facial expressions. If I'm looking at your vagina, like with big eyes and like a disgusted face.
And I'm watching you.
Right. And you see me, like, you're going to remember that and think like, oh my gosh, I disgusted her with my body, you know? And I've literally heard those words when I've done birth debriefs with people in their trauma, like just break my heart. But for that nurse, I guarantee it. And that's the thing. I'm a nurse too. So I know that side. Like they weren't looking at their vagina. I mean like, we see vaginas all day, every day, births all the time. Like none of that faces us, you know?
Yeah.
But the axe forgets, but the tree remembers. And so back to nurses, when thinking about making a difference in the world of obstetrics and seeing the two sides, where now I'm in the community and I'm learning the birth world outside the hospital, I'm really getting to know prenatally these pregnant people and what their issues are and the demographic. I also know the hospital system and the hierarchy of it and what's okay, what's not, policies, procedures, whatever. In order to bridge that gap, I was like, we can't not educate nurses. We for the sake of patients, we can't let them show up and be like, I want to do this because I'm so educated. I'm so excited and blah. And the nurse is like, nah, no. Oh, what are you thinking? You did that class? Like all of a sudden that tree remembers, right?
Yes.
And so that's where Bundleberg Nurses comes in. And so we have a 12-month mentorship program where we have 12 of our heavy hitter classes. And we educate nurses, not only in the clinical stuff, but so much of what we do is that therapeutic communication and how to get at their level and look them in the eye and say, you matter. And I'm here to help you have the healthiest birth memory possible. What can I do to help you feel more safe and comfortable? How can we accommodate your needs and your wishes? And while labor goes how it goes, right? Like there's no total control. Let me help you to pick up what you can control and then let go of the rest. I got you. You're safe here, right? And all of a sudden, they don't feel alone.
Yeah.
They feel like they have some control and they're included in the decisions that they make. And so that's where the Bundleberg Nurses side comes in. And what makes me just so excited is that there is change that has come to the world of obstetrics. We are seeing the shift culturally. I had this same client yesterday. She had to go in for a preterm labor scare to the hospital. And she goes, Sarah, the nurses asked me every single time they touched me. Like I was like enough to, I was like, okay, like, yes, you can touch my belly. Yes, you can do this.
Yeah.
Like, but they asked for consent for everything and looked me in the eye and said, you know, can I do this? This is why I want to do it. That is the shift that's happening. And you imagine the impact that that can have, where she literally thought to herself and the conversation was, how do I actually feel about it? I never even considered how I felt and how it made me feel when XYZ happened. And so now what are you telling? You're telling the birthing person that they're valuable, that their feelings matter, that they're
matter.
that they're not alone, and how those little tiny little shifts can make such a huge difference, so that the tree doesn't remember and all they remember is being totally intact through the process.
Oh, that's amazing. So by educating the nurses, I see that, like, yes, working with women individually is important, but you have greater influence by reaching the nurses. If you can have their understanding and what needs to be done and communications, and that patient relationship is huge. That is so cool. And the tide does need to turn. I mean, to really turn those days into a happy birthday. Oh my gosh, what an impact. So what else would you tell women about preparing for that day? Like, what are some of the stories that you've heard and maybe some of the ideas that you've had on how to turn that around in the future?
Yeah. I think, first of all, I think you need to know what you want. I think, yeah. And this is where there's a perfect balance to me between knowing what you want and feeling confident and it being okay to have preferences.
Yeah.
And that I hear a lot too, of like, well, but I can't because it's never going to go as planned. And I don't want to set myself up for unrealistic expectations or to be let down. And while, like, yes, I don't want that for you either, I think it is really incredibly important to know what you want. And the way you know what you want or know what to expect is by learning and by pursuing that education about what the process looks like. Well, and that to me is the perfect way. And right, mind you, it has to be the right information, because there is information out there that feels like it instills fear, right? And that it only makes you like, wait a second, hold on, now I'm more scared. Like, that's not the point. The point is,
yeah,
get in while you're not in labor and you're not
exactly learning, like,
this is the contraction for the first time, so that you have some time to think and ask questions. And then figure out, like, how does that sound to me? You know, I had another client recently that was very much like, I'm going to go in, I'm going to get my epidural, and, you know, like, da-di-da-di-da. We did a childbirth class. And by the time we hit transition in my class, I have real birth photography that's used to, like, show birth. And there's these photos of, like, women kind of, like, growling, and they look like it's just so intense. And then there's also a picture of, like, somebody just chilling in their bed, like, smiling. And that's really, truly, like, an epidural situation, right? And and sort of the idea to give the contrast of what that can look like. And then there's the one that's sitting there zen and quiet, but really in the zone. And so when we looked at those pictures together, she looked at me and she goes, I want to growl. And I was like, okay, tell me more. She's like, I look at the girl that's smiling. And I'm like, that's not me. I want the primal birth. I want to be in the nitty gritty, you know? And I was like, okay. So we went there and we unpacked some of that. And now she's, like, preparing and doing the work to be ready for a non-epiduralized birth, you know? Yeah. And that's where, like, you're able to discover that, versus in the moment you get the epidural and you go, this isn't the experience that I wanted. And that is something that you can control. And so knowing your preferences is number one. The other side is my classic, I actually see it on the wall behind me, is flex and flow. And this is my, like, life skills. So whether you've given birth before, like, no matter who's listening right now, that if we can learn to be flexible and go with the flow, to me, we're going to tolerate life a lot better, right? That life throws us curveballs, that we can plan and I can execute. Like, I know exactly what my day looks like today. And then I get a phone call that totally derails me. And I have to be flexible and go with the flow. So I always, like, do my finger where I bend my finger and then stick it out to, like, flow. And that really, like, even throughout childbirth classes, like, I'll get asked a question. I'll be like, well, flex and flow. And they're like, oh, by the end, they're laughing about it. Like, oh, okay, I get it. But I'm like, well, it could be this. It could be this. It could be this. It could be this. Let me paint the picture for you. And then the idea is, you're going to get a baby out. Like, you're not going to be pregnant forever. So the process has to go down in one way or another. What exactly it looks like, we're going to be flexible and go with the flow with that. So there's, like, that sort of balance between holding your preferences and knowing what's important to you and what you feel mattering, with saying, I'm going to pick up what I can control and then let go of the rest and be flexible and go with the flow. The other piece I will say is trusting your care team. So yeah, as far as preventing trauma, I think, and in a lot of places in the world, some people don't have control over who their provider is. They're maybe being delivered by a group where they don't know who's coming in, but doing the research ahead of time to know who's my doctor or midwife, what's my hospital environment like, what are my options there, what's the vibe in the community, because there is, I will say, like, even the forums and stuff, like, they're not totally far off a lot of times.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody's interpretation is different, but sort of get a vibe for that. And then who are you allowing into your birth space? Because your partner, your mom, your sister, you know, and especially with now with COVID kind of like opening things back up again, to really consider the energy that you put in your space. Is there a lot of anxiety in the, are they going to be like, are you this? Right? That's going to create a different birth memory than the person that's like, look into my eyes. I'm right here with you. You are so strong and powerful. You know, that's totally a different vibe. And so when you think about birth memory, the people you surround yourself with can influence that birth memory. And while, you know, our emotions, I totally believe that, like, we are responsible for our emotions. And while our circumstances may make it more challenging to stay positive or to respond, quote unquote, well, that also that, like, there's a balance, right? That, like, I can say that's, I mean, I'm not going to let that affect me, but it really does, whether you like it or not.
And, you know, Sarah, it's so interesting what you have just been going over with the flex and flow and between surrounding yourself with who you want part of that experience. Everything you're saying right now literally applies to life.
Totally.
I mean, you're talking about the birthing experience, but everything you said, I'm like, well, I could take that and just apply that to life. I need to flex and flow. You know, I need to surround myself with the right type of people for the circumstances, you know? So it's really interesting to me, the lessons and the education that you're imparting on people that you're working with. Just take it and apply it to your life too.
Totally. And I say that throughout all of my classes. And I actually joke that, like, my first book will be Life Lessons from Labor and Birth, because I have so many of those little quotes that, like, and one of the things I say is too, is one contraction at a time. If you think about that for life, that, like, when life throws us something challenging or painful, we know it's not forever. There is rest on the other side. There is peace. This will resolve. And so if you can look at it and say, all right, I'm going to conquer this contraction. I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to breathe. I'm going to soften my body. I'm not going to resist the flow of my life. And I'm going to take what I can control and let go of the rest. You're going to make it out the other side and then eventually land in, like, a different place and closer to the goal of birthing something good.
I love it.
Go on forever about that.
I definitely see a book in your future for sure.
I hope so.
I can see that for sure. So we're winding up our time here with Soul Source. So I like to sum it up. Like, give us, like, your one parting thought for listeners today. Like, what do you want them to walk away with after listening to this episode?
I want them to walk away knowing that they matter and that their birth experience matters and that their emotions through the process matters. And even if the axe has hit a few times here and there, that was their decision, and that impact, like, it doesn't have to be life lasting. And so what, and that is, to me, applies with life as well, let's be honest, right?
Yeah.
That we all go through challenging experiences, and it's easy to sort of forget that your experience matters. And so whether you're pregnant or whether you've had a baby, whether that was yesterday or years ago, that what you felt in your labor and birth really truly is valid and it's meaningful. And if you are having trauma or you're having PTSD from your birth, that there is help out there. There's perinatal psychologists out there that specialize in this stuff to really achieve healing so that that memory can be something life lasting that really launches you into parenting and health into the future. And the other thing is that I want to just remind all of us that a lot of times, especially with the medical system, it's easy to think that you don't have control or that you are sort of subject to the system, or like your doctor makes a recommendation. You're like, okay, doctor. And then you look back and you're like, well, but I have all these questions. And now I'm like, was that the best decision? Right. And so just to remind all of us that when we're in scenarios that you have full autonomy over your body, you have full autonomy over who touches you, who performs any kind of medical procedures. And while like obviously an emergency, you want someone to save your life. But so often, even in the clinic, or even when you make these decisions that do potentially have lifelong impact, you have the right to understand the risks, the benefits, and what your other options are. And that is the expectation going forward. So a huge mission of mine is for all of us to be empowered to really take part in our health and take part in our lives, rather than just whatever you want, doctor, and then potentially have regrets later on. No regrets, especially when it comes to your birth experience. I want you to, you know, understand everything so that you can look back and go, yes, that was a healthy birth memory.
And I think to sum that up, like, use your voice when it comes to your care, speak up.
Yep. And that's the expectation. And if you get pushback to that's not on you. You're doing what you need to do. And the expectation is that your provider helps you to be included and understand what's going on.
Yeah. Now, if people are interested who are listening today in finding out more about you and bundled birth, where do they go? Where do they find that information?
Yeah, the easiest way is just bundledbirth.com. Everything is there. On social media, I do have a YouTube channel. It's just Sarah Lavonne, L-A-V-O-N-N-E. And then I have like hundreds of videos on childbirth education related topics. And then also on Instagram, we're Bundle Birth and Bundle Birth Nurses, if you're a labor and delivery nurse.
Thank you so much, Sarah. It was awesome. Great conversation today. We appreciate you taking the time to be on Soul Source. Thank you
so much for having me. This was awesome.
Thank you for listening. And if you want to hear more Soul Source, subscribe to the show. We're available wherever you listen to podcasts. And if there's something you want us to talk about, we can do that too. We have a page. It's on Facebook. It's called the Soul Source Society. And it's where we interact with listeners. We get content ideas for future shows. We talk about past content. And overall, we just have a lot of fun. That's Soul Source Society on Facebook. We hope to see you there. Soul Source is brought to you by Red Shoes, Inc., a leading agency that specializes in crisis and strategic communications, media relations, social media, and so much more. To learn more about Soul Source and Red Shoes, visit us at redshoesinc.com.